Thank you, Ruth, for that beautiful song. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to find two passages of Scripture. One would be Exodus chapter number 3, Exodus chapter number 3, and then one would be Galatians chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 3, Galatians chapter number 2. We'll start in the book of Galatians, and then we'll come back to the book of Exodus. I want to thank all of the men that preached while I was absent. I know that you did an outstanding job, and I appreciate you listening to my dad last week. And I have not listened to the tape because I didn't know what he talked about, and I figured I might be on the menu, and so I didn't want to hear all that. But I asked somebody, I said, how'd my dad do? I said, he did great. He said he was on time. And so I thought, oh boy. Put a little pressure on me. But thank you, Brother Keith, Brother Malcolm, Brother Hugh, Pastor Jay, all of the guys that were preaching. And I tell you, it is such a joy to have good and godly men in our church that and ladies that can teach and that can speak, walk with God, and what a great, marvelous privilege. I want you to find, if you would, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Apostle Paul, writing here to the church of Galatia, he writes one of the great verses of the Bible. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live. Boy, I've been captivated by that phrase. The life which I now live. Every once in a while, to a preacher, and we have a guest preacher here today, he and others in the room, you understand when God gives you a message or a direction in your heart, he'll usually do it based upon his word. There'll be times you'll be reading and you'll be studying and you will come across something, and it's like the Lord just takes one of those Louisville sluggers and says, hold up right here. I want to impress this upon your heart. I have been meditating and thinking about that phrase, the life which I now live, for a long time. Halfway through the series in the book of Romans, God gave this to me and God allowed me to come across it and said, when you're done with the book of Romans and you preach a few messages on our church, I want you to preach a series on the life that we now live. God began to develop this theory, this series, and began to bring materials to me. And I'm excited to preach a series that will take me all the way through Christmas time with missions and other things going in. But I want to preach a series entitled, I Have Jesus for This. Can you say this out loud with me? I have Jesus for this. Hold up your right hand if you would, please. Pastor, are we going to take an oath? No. Ready? Watch me, and then we'll do it one time. I have Jesus for this. Here we go. I have Jesus for this. I hope and pray that I will be able, by the power of the Spirit of God, to impress this upon your brain, that it will forever change your life. Paul understood the importance of the presentness of life. Paul was like many of us in the room. He had a past that, if you looked at it, was really full of failure. And Paul really and truthfully had a future that also was frightening. And I find that there's some understanding and agreement that many of us have. Many of us can look at our past and we're not too excited about it. And we're glad that the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Amen. And then we look at the future and we think, man, how are we going to make it? Look at the past and we see failure. And we look at the future and we see frightfulness. I've had a lot of opportunity this summer. And the summer began by traveling to California, and I was in a spiritual leadership conference. Beverly and I went out there, and we were with about 6,000 other preachers and their wives and ministry people from all over the world. And usually you hear talk about either the good old days or you hear talk about the absolute frightful days that are ahead of us. Went to Georgia to preach a revival, and inside that church I heard talk about the good old days and what are we going to do in the future. Went to Michigan on vacation and I hear talk about the good old days and what are we going to do in the future. One preacher said, or somebody said, that there's a definition of the good old days. They are a mixture of a bad memory and a good imagination. I am afraid, and I think that it's going to be extremely important that we are balanced in our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it this way. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and how? Forever. I have Jesus for this. I'm ambidextrous. I could do it with my left hand too. Aren't you glad you have Jesus for your past? Aren't you glad you have Jesus for your future? Let's not forget that we have Jesus for our life now. For our life now. Paul understood that. The life which I now live. You know, if you're going to experience the fullness of life, then you have to understand the fullness of Jesus Christ. I promise you this. You were not sold a bill of goods when you got saved. Some people think, well, Pastor, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I know my sins are gone, and I guess I got a home in heaven one day. But man, I'm not necessarily sure that this is working out right now in my life. And I have this sneaky suspicion that sometimes we allow this thought process that Jesus is for my past and he's for my future, but he doesn't really do me any good right now. And you say, Pastor, we would never agree with that verbally. No, but I think we live like that privately sometimes. No leader, no authority, no organization, no religious principle can do for you now what only Jesus Christ can do for us. Pastor, how is Jesus practical right now? I don't see him. I guess he was back then. He did walk on the earth. And I guess one day I do believe that he's going to be coming again, but where is he now? I don't see him. And I think the old country preacher said it the best when he said, most people think that Jesus was a was-um when really he is a is-um. I'm going to say that again. Most people think and live their lives like Jesus was a was-um, not like he is an ism. My friends, Jesus Christ is a very present and real God and our great God and Savior. And so there are some truths in the Bible that I think are marvelous and beautiful. And they're called the I am statements of Christ. And really and truthfully, I want to preach to you a series of messages on the I ams of Christ. I've entitled this series, I Have Jesus for This. The title of the message today is Your Life Now, or Life Now. And I want to look at these I am statements of the Lord that he makes throughout the New Testament. And I want you to understand that Jesus is not just for our past and for our future, but he's for our present now. And I want us to live like that. Find, if you would, Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus 3 is one of the most fascinating passages you could ever read. You know it entails, and the title's Moses in the Burning Bush. And we understand all that was going on at that moment. God is getting ready to call Moses, and God is getting ready to show him what he has for him to do. And Moses is on the backside of the desert, and for time's sake, I just want you to pick up with Exodus chapter 3, verse number 11. And Moses said unto God, this is after God told him what he was going to do with him, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. God is speaking here. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. What a great promise. Verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, read those five words with me. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Moses is getting ready to go forward and stand before Pharaoh and risk his life in serving the Lord. Moses knows he's getting ready to go, and he's getting ready to ask these people to do something that they may not be willing to do. And Moses says, they're going to ask me what your name is. Who are you? And the Lord answers him in verse number 14 with the great title, I am that I am. And by the way, God does want people to know his name, and you can know God's name. God wants people to know him, and you can know God. If you know God in this room, would you say amen?
Amen.
People say, well, God's unknowable. You're a fool. Nobody that's ever read the Bible would ever say that God is unknowable. Nobody that ever has been born again would say that God is unknowable. For ask me how I know him, he lives within my heart. God wants us to know. And God graciously answers Moses' request. He says, I'll tell you who I am. I am that I am. And when you go and you talk to him, I want you to tell him, I am has sent me. The name I am comes from the Hebrew word Yahweh. It is a name that conveys the concept of absolute being. The one who is and his present works on our behalf. It conveys the meaning of I am who and what I am. I do not change. It is a very full, expressive name. It is absolute truth, eternal. I am is what God said to Moses is how you would define me. And by the way, let me just say something. Praise God that he does not change. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. Man's thinking may evolve, but God never changes. Do not let your thinking evolve. Our leaders stand up and say, our thinking has evolved, and now we're going to support homosexuality. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that homosexuality is a sin against the holy God. God loves the homosexual. God wants you to be saved. God, salvation is available, but God hates sin. He hates the sin of homosexuality. He hates the sin of lying. He hates the sin of thieves. He hates the sin of adultery. He hates the sin of fornication. God hates all sin. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. And so Moses here says, I want to know your name. And God says, I'll tell you what my name is. My name is I Am. Pastor, why is it important to know God's name? Vitally important is it to know God's name. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 says, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I need to know God's name so I can be saved. The Bible says that we also were created to worship and glorify God. Millions of people attend religious services every week and they participate in things and they put forth some form of worship in some kind of routine, but they don't understand the reality of who they're even worshiping. They don't even know his name. They just go because it's a formal and traditional thing, but they don't know him. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the woman at the well. And she said, I know that when Messiah comes, we will worship him. And Jesus said, I that speaketh unto you am he. It's me that you need to worship. Why do you need to know the name of God? To be saved, and you need to know to worship who you're worshiping. Third reason is that your life can be transformed by the power of God. I read the New Testament and I read words like, in the name of Jesus, rise, walk, and be healed. By the way, there's wonderful power in the name of Jesus Christ. Moses wanted to know his name. And he needed to know the name of God because he knew that he was going to have to lead them through something that was going to be very difficult. Moses understood their past, and he knew where God wanted to take them in the future, but Moses needed something for the present. And what did Moses need? He needed authority. Lord, now God, when I stand before them, they're going to ask me, who and where do you get this from? Why should we listen to you? Why should we risk our lives? Why should we go forward? Who's in charge? And Moses says, I need to be able to give them a name. And God says, I'll tell you what. You go and you tell them that I am has sent you, that I am is in charge. And Moses needed to know God's name for the authority of the present. Now listen to me, church. In Matthew chapter 28, we learn that all authority has been given to who? Jesus. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. And yes, he's redeemed me from the past. And yes, he's going to rescue me in the future. But let me tell you something now. He brings authority to my life in the present. There's no greater authority than Jesus Christ in the now. Don't you remember when Jesus came on the scene of Lazarus? And the whole place is crazy. And they have the audacity to look at Jesus and say, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus, who full well knew what was going on and loved these people, he loved them. And he arrives on the scene and they make this charge. And after they've kind of vented their charge, they calm down. Martha says unto him, I got this marked in my Bible. I love this. You don't have to turn it. I'll read it to you. And Martha, Jesus looks at her and says, listen, your brother's going to rise again. And Martha says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, don't lose the scene. He's in the tomb. People are everywhere. Jesus looks at this woman and says, your brother's going to rise again. Immediately she does what most of us Baptists do. Immediately she said, well, that could never happen now. I know in the future everything's going to be okay. What the songwriter writes? It's a great song. I love the song. It will be worth it all when we what? See Jesus. So most of us think, okay, I've been saved here from hell, but I've got to go through hell on earth. And then one day I'm going to end up in heaven. So here's Martha and Mary. And Martha says, Lord, I know he's going to rise again. And he's going to rise again in the last day. And Jesus looked at her, and with all authority, he said to that woman, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. What was Jesus saying? Jesus saying, Martha, whoa, 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 where are you going? You got your mind all the way over here in the future, but I want you to know I'm sufficient for life now. Lazarus, come forth out of the grave. Church, what happened to Lazarus? came forth. See, we get this mentality that I'm saved from hell, but I got to kind of endure hell here, and one day I'll be in heaven. Jesus was, and he might be, but I'm telling you, he's enough for now. He's enough for now. Moses said, who are you? I am. Okay, you are. And then God graciously and wonderfully throughout the Bible begins to kind of expound on his name and his nature. Now, there's no way you're going to be able to get all this, but if you get a pen, you might be able to get the references down. 9 times we come across Yahweh's name in the Old Testament when it's linked to his divine nature and his gracious ministry to people. And if you were to go to Genesis chapter 22, verse number 14, you see where he's called Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide or see to it. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner. Yahweh Imkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Yahweh Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Listen, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And so the I am in the burning bush, according to the New Testament, is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, are found in him. Amen, in Christ. Jesus many times said, I am, I am, I am. And so here, Moses, God says, I am has sent you. And he develops that throughout the Old Testament into his nature. And Jesus says, behold, after reading the book of Isaiah, I am here. Pastor, why do I need to know that? Why is that even important and understand for us? Well, listen, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jesus is sufficient enough to supply our need now. You came in here with a need, and I don't know what that need is, but you need some kind of provision. Well, let me tell you something. The great I am is our great provider. So what is your need? Whatever your need is, he's able to supply. Pastor, I need money. I need money. We need money in our life. Well, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in every mine. Pastor, I need a home. Well, he's able to provide a home. Well, Pastor, I need this. He can provide that. Well, I know one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a mansion. My friend, let me tell you something. You can have heaven now in Jesus Christ. And we got this mentality that, okay, one day in heaven he can provide. No, he can provide now. He is Yahweh Jireh. The Lord will provide. He can supply our need. He's Yahweh Rapha. He's able to heal us. Yahweh Nisi, Christ is able to fight our battles and defeat our enemies. Yahweh Imkadesh, he's able to set us apart and sanctify us. Yahweh Shalom, he is able to give us peace in the midst of the storm. Rahi takes us to the Psalm 23 and John 10, encouraging us to follow the shepherd. Yahweh Sabaoth talks about his strength and his armies of heaven and all that are in his control. Yahweh Sidkenu, he's our very righteousness put to our account. Our sins and our iniquities are remembered no more. Jesus says Yahweh Shema, God with us. He will always be with us. Under the very end, that's what he said. I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. It is his promise. And so Paul said, nevertheless, I'm crucified with Christ. I want you to go back to that verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now we're done in Exodus 3. Come on. Man, I'm doing great. You're going to be out of here by 12. My dad set a reputation. Paul said in verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what, class? Faith. Whose faith? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The same way that Moses needed the assurance of the authority of the presence of God is the same way we need to understand the assuredness and the presence and authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. And Moses said, now I need you now. Now. I know where we're going. I know where we've been. But now, Paul said, the life that I now live can be a blessing. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is an awesome life. Filled with joy and yes, there's trials and yes, there's temptations and yes, there's those things, but there's the peace of God. There's the blessing of God. There's the encouragement of God. There's the lifting of God. There's the presence of God. There's the faithfulness of God. And we gotta, as people of God, stop waiting and thinking all about the future and learn how to see him miraculously in our life now. Now. That was his promise. Christ liveth in me. And the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Who loved me. Can I say this and I'll close? Do you believe that God loves sinners? Can I ask you this question then? Do you believe that God loves saints? See, I think sometimes even good godly people think, well, God does love the sinner. But listen, once God saved you, he didn't stop loving you. He didn't stop knowing about you. He didn't stop caring for you. He didn't say, okay, I got that one. Let me put him on the stringer and let me go catch some more. By the way, if I had my phone, I'd show you the beautiful fish I caught. Most of us live our lives like we've got a metal post stuck down through our mouth coming out our gill, and we're just flopping along on the string, and we think God's over here catching more fish. Let me tell you something. Your Savior is so interested in you that he possessed you, indwells you, fills you, and loves you immensely. And wants to be God now. The life that I now live. Every parent better understand, your kids will make a determination on Jesus Christ based on your life now. Based on your life now. And so I want to take this series, and I want to begin to preach to you what Jesus is to us now. Pastor, I've got great needs. Let me just show you something. How many have a great need in the room right now? You just got a great need. Look around you. We all have a great need. Well, Pastor, does God meet your needs? Yeah. Well, you're the pastor. He's supposed to do that. Let me tell you something. God doesn't meet my need because I'm the pastor. God meets my need because I'm his child. And God meets my need when I obey him. God meets my need when I pray and ask him. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't merit me any more blessing than you. He's not a respecter of persons. And I refuse as your pastor to let you think that all of the blessing of the salvation of God is just awaiting for you in the future. I refuse to let you see that. It's available for us now. Your life now. Now my question is, what about your life? Is it pleasing to the Lord? Is it obedient? Is it a life of faith? Is God leading you somewhere? What's going on? Pastor, I got a lot of needs. Great. I have Jesus for this. What's the this? Whatever you have need for, because there's not a need that exists that cannot be supplied by Jesus Christ. So why don't you try some things this week? Oh man, Pastor, I've got this problem. Okay, I have Jesus for my problem. That doesn't work. I have Jesus for this. Whatever the this is, put it there. When you go to bed at night, okay, Lord, I have you for this. When you wake up, Lord, I have you for this. Lord, I know what everybody else is saying, but I'm going to find out what you're saying because I refuse not to enjoy Jesus Christ now. It will change our lives. And God's people said, amen. All right, let's pray. We'll go home. Heavenly Father God, Paul understood. He had a past that was failing, per se. Really, he had a future that was frightening. But he loved life. He wrote books like Philippians when he was in prison, which is filled with joy. He wrote Colossians, which talks about the preeminence of Christ. He wrote Galatians that talked about the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ. He wrote to the church at Rome the great treaties of our faith. He learned how to enjoy life now. And it wasn't himself. It was Christ in him. It was the faith of Christ that worked through him. He learned how to die to self and be filled with the Spirit of God. And Paul then could enjoy and be encouraged. I'm afraid that there are people under the sound of my voice today, and they really don't think that you can help them right now. So their credit cards are just maxed. Their marriages are on the brink. They're job hunting frantically. They're storing up money under the mattress or food in the pantry. And not necessarily is any of that wrong unless it's motivated by fear. Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. Well, yeah, I know he saved me from my sin, but man, he can't pay my light bill. Or he can't work this relationship out. Or he can't provide me a job. Or he can't really give me direction on what I should do with my life. Oh, I know one day, Pastor, we're gonna have it all. One day Lazarus will rise. And Jesus said, no, it's not the day, it's me. It's me. I am. Then he looked at Martha and said, do you believe this? She said, I do, Lord. Lazarus, come forth. What we need is we need for God's people to begin to believe God, to believe him, to believe him. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm believing God and trusting God for my salvation. I know he lives in my heart. Here's my hand as a testimony. Would you lift your hand, Pastor? I'm saved and I know it. God bless you. Thank you. You can put it down. I wonder, Christian, Pastor, I've got to be honest with you. I've got some things going on in my life right now, and I really have, I guess, come to the point where I'm not even sure that Jesus can help me now. Now, I've been looking to myself. I've been looking to everything for this issue. But I forgot that I have Jesus for this. I forgot he loves me. I forgot that he can provide for me. I forgot all those things. I'm so tired, Pastor. I've been laboring in the flesh. I've been up at nights. I've been trying to do all of this. I'm so tired. Thank you, God, for reminding me that it's Christ in me and his faith. Pastor, I do need to surrender in an area to the Lord, and I do need to come to him and trust him. Pastor, pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand, Pastor? I got a need. Sure, sure, sure. God bless you. You can put them down. I wonder, somebody here, and you say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ. If I was to die today, I know I would go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. I understand that there is no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. I need to be saved today. I've been thinking about it. It's been on my heart. It's been on my mind. It's time to just do it. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. If you lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Pastor, I need to be saved. Is there anyone in here? Pastor, I need to be saved. Anybody? Okay. All right. Nobody. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands of those that need you now. The life that I now live. Many need to be encouraged and lifted. Many need to be brought to the promise of God, the hope of God. Many need to be brought to just thy word. I pray, God, that you'd prick us in our heart where we need to be pricked. Convict us. Let us see. May we turn to you. May we trust you. May we be obedient. Thank you for being the great I am. Thank you for being all we need. Pray, God, that we would, that'd be a reality in our heart. I have Jesus for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing our song of invitation. Page number 330. The men of God will be here. If you need prayer, you can come and pray, and we can help you pray, however you, whatever the case may be. Verse number 1, page number 330. Only trust him. Move as God leads you. God bless you as you sing.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him.
Here we go. Ready? I have Jesus for this. You're going to need it this week. Let it bless you. Page number 563 is our song to go home. Count your blessings. Verse number 1. Thank you for being here. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. You do not want to miss these great testimonies. God bless you as we sing verse number 1.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. God bless you, you are dismissed.